we've got 10 seconds. Okay, I'm going to gather you back just so we can move things along here. How about this group right here? We'll go in the other order. Nice. And where in John 20 are you seeing that?
When I heard Jesus say, Mary, when I hear Jesus say, my name, it's just me.
It's for Thomas too. And for,
I can't dwell in my
cocoon. Oh, that's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. Way to go. Yeah, go tell my disciple. That's good. Mm-hmm. How about this group? Yeah.
That could be subject to corruption. I think it's a lack of listening, which is what the disciples messages are trying to do.
Nice.
A lack of accepting.
Nice.
A feeling of trying to control and not let Jesus enter into the equation.
A lack of listening. I was reading this morning from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I just think this is beautiful. We do God's work for our brothers and sisters when we learn to listen to them. So often Christians, especially preachers, think that their only service is always to have to offer something when they are together with other people. They forget that listening can be a greater service than speaking. Many people seek a sympathetic ear and do not find it among Christians because these Christians are talking even when they should be listening. Yeah. So, but maybe to your point. How about this group?
Well, I think I identified a little bit with Thomas in this situation because I'm often praying for things that I'm really not sure whether it's God or me that wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. That's really good.
So I'm, doubting God's faithfulness when, in truth, He may have a whole different way of answering my prayer. Mm.
Yeah, isn't that true? That's a lesson to learn. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, right. That's good. A long time. Yeah. Thank you. Good. How about this group?
Well, I sort of took too much of the time. I apologize, but to me, the reproof is the fact that Thomas needs the evidence. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I'm engaged kind of with the apologetics process in my own life right now. So I'm wondering, is my attitudes towards unbelievers or skeptics that they need to be reproved because they need the evidence for belief?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And yet, Jesus said, here, take a look. So how about this group back here? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Okay. How about back? Ditto. You guys are great. Way to go. And then this group. Where are you seeing that in John 20? All right. What's that? Yeah. Hey, that's fair. Yeah. That's nice. All right. How about correction? So if reproof is the diagnosis, correction is the prognosis. take, we'll give you 30 seconds now because you're getting so good at this, to just quietly get your mind around correction and then meet in your group and discuss, and then we'll answer back. How does this passage correct us? All right, most of you are already meeting, so keep it up. All right, can we try to answer back to each other? Isn't this fun? Are you having fun? This is great. Thanks for being such good participants. We'll start by the back windows again because I just sense greatness back there. Okay, good. Fair enough. Cool. How about this group?
Like, the best way to learn about a relationship is to get into the relationship. Hmm. So that's what you mean, open up the dialogue.
Nice.
Open up the questioning and allow the interaction to begin as you learn from
them. Very nice. So the correction is enter into dialogue, be in relationship. That's good. I like that. How about this group? What's the proverb that you're bringing to my mind? I discipline those whom I love. How about this group? Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah.
And so we need to be open to how it's going to prove to us.
That's awesome. Yeah. Way to go. That's great. I love that. And I love that about Jesus. How about this group?
Well, correction to me is to make a wrong right.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first, Mary didn't really recognize it, but when she heard the voice of God,
yeah.
She knew what was.
Yeah, oh, that's
and
good.
Me reading this.
Nice. Nice.
Yes, God speaks
nice.
To me.
I love that.
So when I need it.
Good.
He corrects it.
Yeah, and that's
if,
good.
If you forgive anyone their sins.
Yeah.
They're forgiven.
Yeah. Wow.
So it is the voice of God.
That's really good. So you're saying Mary saw him but didn't hear him, and it took his voice. And the correction for you is pay attention to the voice, the book. I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. The beauty.
But Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice."
Yeah, that's right. So, how about this group right here?
Similar to what they were saying, Jesus came to you. I think about students. Students think oral listening, reading, or doing. And he came to them each and corrected them in the way that they needed to hear. But then when in Thomas's case, went one step further and said, "Well, I'm giving you what you need, but there's another way it looks."
Nice. That's good. When he said, "You've seen because you believe me. Blessed are those who haven't seen and still believe." That's great. Way to go. This is so encouraging to me. How about this?
The scripture passage, "Go and tell my disciples."
Yeah.
My correction from a reproof or whatever it is.
Yeah,
yeah. The scripture was, "There's many things I can do before talking."
Hmm.
And the word go came before tell.
Oh, nice. That's good. That reminds me of where I felt corrected. So there's this interesting thing. Why does John, the gospel writer, give the details of Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, who is John? Why does he go through the tedious details of telling how fast they were running and then what happens when the disciple whom Jesus loved, who is the author himself, bends down and looks into the tomb but doesn't go in, and then Peter comes following him and he goes into the tomb? I mean, do we really need to know this? Let's get to the resurrection part, right? Here's where I felt corrected. Peter, or John, stops at the tomb, and I'm thinking, because it's unlawful to go into the tomb. He would be made unclean touching a dead body. Peter doesn't care. Peter goes right in, and he gets the next view, so to speak. And then John comes in with him, and he sees, and it says, and he believes. Where I feel corrected, am I willing to go to the place where it's not all cut and dry and clean and clear to meet Jesus? I'm a pastor. I can do a great job in my office, in the church, and never engage anyone outside of the church. I mean, you know what I mean? It's my job. But I feel corrected here. No, go to the place. So Jesus says later in one of his parables, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And they said, "When did we do any of these things?" And Jesus said, "When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." Go into the tomb, so to speak. Go into the place where it's a little harder to define, you know, the rules and the, I mean, me as a preacher, I can make my living in a church, and the rest of us maybe are so bound by our rules, our religious rules, that we actually use our religious rules to distance ourselves from real people. So they miss the opportunity to actually engage what's at the center of our faith, who is Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? That was where I felt corrected. Yeah.
I wanted to share Jesus with everybody, but sometimes I stopped short of really giving the full gospel message. Maybe I was embarrassed, maybe I, you know, didn't hold up or didn't want to work it out, but sometimes stop.
Yeah, yeah. Anxious.
You do it through example.
Yeah. So, yeah, they attributed to, is it Francis? But I don't think it was actually Francis. Always preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. So how about last one? What are the four again? Perfect. Way to go. Okay, and if you do forget, it's 2 Timothy 3:16. You can find it. So now take maybe 30 seconds on your own, and how does this practice train me? How does this passage train me? What habit, what discipline, what thing can you walk out of this to do that would train you into righteousness? You know, like I played basketball when I was a little kid. regardless of the level, we always began practice dribbling down the floor with our right hand, touching the line and going back, and then dribbling down with our left hand. It was a practice. I didn't need to learn how to dribble with my right hand or my left. I had done it all my life. But you do it anyway because it's a habit, it's a training, it's a practice to grow up into righteousness. Fair enough? So take 30 seconds, and what's the practice? What's the habit? And it's 11 o'clock, and I'm going 10 minutes long. If that makes you anxious, sorry. Let's do the group thing. Some of you are doing it already. Great. Let's try to gather together again here. Last round. Oh, Melody's group wants to go first. Here we go. This group, oh, sorry. This group's going to go first. I love it. That's awesome. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's been great being with you. I'm leaving. That is as good as it gets right there. Wow. That makes my week. Awesome. Thank you. That's great. How about this group? Go, just go. Good, I love it. How about this group?
My point was, if you're going to read it, then live it. Go out there. I'm very blunt. I'll tell people, I might be the only person that ever says something to someone. And that's their only chance. You're not going to have it. You can hear it different ways. Have it given to you certain ways. Yeah. But the one thing is, you are not making it to heaven unless you go to Jesus.
You got
to
believe,
John, what is it?
These are written that you may come to believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God.
Well, there's just one true way.
Yeah, that's right.
So go out, be blunt.
Yeah.
Because you might be the only person that someone ever hears the word of God from.
When I was a little kid, my dad was my pastor. That's when pastors wore robes. Pastors still wear robes? Some pastors still wear robes? Yeah. Well, he's awesome. So one of my favorite benedictions, I can still remember it. He'd stand up, robe, arms extended, massive a man. You may be the only Bible some people read this week. You may be the only glimpse of Jesus some people get.
And listen.
Be a listener. Well, I'm following off on your point. You may be the only glimpse of Jesus some people get.
Somebody else will say something like my husband. and says something, and I'll be like, oh, whatever. And then someone else says,
yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, she's like, really?
Like, I just said that. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I love it. All right, how about this group? Yeah.
So we've got to go where they are.
Oh, yeah.
So what my takeaway from this is you need to reach them in the way that they listen. If they if they need a book, if it's written, then you hand them a book.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
If they're extroverts, you talk to them.
Yeah, that's so good.
You know, you
way
talk
to, go.
To them, and that's how you're going to be most effective.
I love that. Good job. That's sweet. How about this group?
Just go.
I love it. That's a lot. That's a lot of commonality right there. For that's good. Okay.
To show that I was paying attention yesterday morning.
Whoa, boy.
Was forgive, and what is forgiven here.
Hmm. Nice.
And that's the kind of discussion on what we said.
Hmm. Nice. That's so good. I went for a jog this morning, and I was running past the golf course, and someone said, "Hello, preacher." I'm like that. Hello, great sermon yesterday. I said, thank you. I'll come talk to you. We started talking, and he said to me, it was great. But what about when you need to ask for forgiveness? I thought, yeah, that's a good question. Anyway, thank you. Can I tell you one story, and then I'll let you go? Are people nervous about time? Okay. So I was a pastor on Whidbey Island. It's 100 miles northwest of Seattle. If you drive north on the 5 and then west on the 20 and then south over Deception Pass Bridge into the town, we were a part of Oak Harbor, or like 50 miles if you just hop on Kenmore Air. The longest island in the continental U.S., people from Long Island like to argue with that, but there was a Navy base, 10,000 active sailors, where in the town that I pastored for 10 years. So there's all kinds of either Navy personnel, retired Navy, or people there because of the Navy. Among them was a woman named Rika Neen House. They're called on the West Coast Neen House, but in the Midwest they're Neen Heiss. I don't know if you've noticed that. Rika Neen House, she was about 90 when I moved there. And one of the first things I did as a pastor, because I figured if I'm going to get to know these people, I need to hear their stories, so I'm going to visit the oldest people first to hear the stories. And so she couldn't really get to church anymore, so I brought communion with me. And because I did that, I was her best friend forever. her son, Lanny, became something of a friend of mine, and so when he called me one day, about 3 years into our time there, that his mom, Rika, was not well and had been taken to the hospital. I think she had fallen. They weren't sure how long she'd live. So I hopped in my Toyota Tacoma pickup truck and went south on the 20 to Whidbey General Hospital, walked past the newspaper stands, through the double doors, down the winding hall. Why is it that hospitals are always like one addition on the next and you can never find where you're going? But I did find my way to the ICU unit where Rika was. Her whole family had gathered in her bedroom, and they were all basically lining the walls with a granddaughter holding Rika's hand. And now I'm like 2 years into pastoral ministry. I'm like 27 years old. This is a very intimidating moment for me. The whole ride down to the hospital, I was convincing myself, just don't blow it. Just don't say something dumb. Don't get in the way. So I made my way into her room, and I greeted her on the hand, and then I just walked away, stood underneath the TV with the rest of the family, right, though, in eyes view of Rika as she lay on her bed, which might have been my mistake. I could see at one point she was sort of trying to muster strength and trying to say something. So she blurted out, 103. And I'm thinking to myself, I have no idea what she's talking about. but I wanted to be a good pastor. So I said, no, that, well, close, Rika. The church is almost 103 years old. And she got the scowl on her face. And then she mustered again, 103. And I said, oh, Rika, you're 93. And she scowled like this again. And then she did it again, 103. And I just have no idea what she's talking about. And her granddaughter says, Pastor, I think she means Psalm 103. Of course she means Psalm 103. Everybody knows that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know the psalm. What I thought was so beautiful, here Rika is. I mean, we're talking hours from the end. And she wanted someone to give her access again to the book, because through the book, she would experience the one she was about to meet. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, made flesh for us and for our salvation. I have not forgotten about Rika. That was at least a decade ago. And that's why I'm offering this to you. Teach, reprove, correct, train. I want you to have access to the book. Yes, we can open it and find inspirational quotes and go to the back to the concordance and see, you know, what do we need when we're anxious? And those are all fine and good ways of approaching Scripture, but this is the way Scripture invites us to approach Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God, theopneustos, and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. So I hope you can wake up tomorrow and at least feel like you've got something to use to open the book. My kids are here. That must mean the time has come. Thank you very much. Yeah, Dad. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good to be with you. I'm blessed by your presence. I'm going to pray, and then you all can get on to the rest of your days. Gracious God, we bless you for your book, your word. Give us ears to hear, both audibly, but also the ears of our hearts and minds to receive and comprehend, that we might more and more be the people your world needs us to be, for the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you, my friends.
Thank you. Thanks again.